My name is Regina George, and I am a massive deal. Hear me, love me, stand and stare at me, and these are real. I've got money.
Hello and welcome to Sister Act. This is a podcast where two sisters talk about movie musicals. My name is Jackie. I'm one of those sisters.
My name is Nicola. I am the other one.
And today we are talking about the very recently released movie musical adaptation of the stage show based on the movie of Mean Girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess for some context, I don't know anything about this musical, except that I don't like what I did know.
Yeah, same.
I kind of had the experience of watching this. Like, I know that there are people who are fans of this musical who are, like, upset about all the ways that the movie doesn't honor the stage show.
It's really been my TikTok, seeing people, like, comparing the versions, and I'm like, I personally don't like either version. I don't feel like this movie has ruined this music. I'm like, they're both just kind of bad songs, and it doesn't really matter. There were some moments where I thought
the objections here are more like lyric changes and orchestration changes, and not like, because the thing is, for me, it's like kind of rhyming with my Color Purple experience, but I don't have the same feelings of it. Like, part of it is probably just context, and I think people's experiences of being frustrated are valid. But for me, it's like, oh, this did kind of introduce me to music I didn't know, and I appreciate it a little bit more seeing it in context. Even though apparently it would have been even better in the stage show context. I don't know that that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I have heard I feel like in marketing material for this music, they would just sing that one. There would be parts of that part of Revenge Party that's like, a revenge party is a party that ends. And I was like, this is stupid. This song is nothing. This musical is bad.
I annoyingly but in know context, a lot
I enjoyed
of the
Revenge
music.
Party. I knew Apex Predator existed. I knew Worldburn existed. And
I think I know a lot of it because I did actively give it a chance and was like, this is not good. So I've listened to the soundtrack, I think.
I know and like I'd Rather Be Me, but in a way where, like, when I listen to it, I'm like, this is kind of bad, but it just, like, hits a pleasure center for me.
I agree. When I, at the time that all this music was new, I remember being like, these lyrics are so dumb, but if I think you're bad, I'll say you're bad. I'm like, what? How is this the final cut?
But it was just, it's so up tempo and driving. It would just be so good to walk around to. I'd be like, yes. It just really had like an energy that I needed sometimes. But it was not a good, like, I didn't feel like this is a good song. And then they did that terrible number at the Tonys that did not make the cut for the movie. And thank God.
When they all have their own little part. And they sang Where Do You Belong?
See, I don't know. You know more than me.
That song is like, Where Do You Belong? And then because they did sing Meet the Plastics, but they cut Gretchen and Karen's part and just did the My name is Regina George.
And I am a massive deal. I do kind of like I recognized a lot of the like more iconic lines of music. But I never really gave the musical a chance. My opinion was always, so this actually, honestly, the little journey that I went on watching this movie is that my opinion on Mean Girls was I just judged Tina Fey for making such a mediocre product with her middlingly talented husband when this could have been, like, I was like, why did you not work with, like, Sarah Bareilles, you know, like a young up-and-coming woman songwriter who has done a movie-to-stage adaptation of a musical so successfully? I just was like, I don't know. It just felt like I could just imagine a version of this that would be interesting if the people working on it were less insular to the people who made the original movie. Like, I think Tina Fey could have been a part of it, but I was just like, why work with your husband? You know, like, I don't know. It felt like a little fun thing for them, but I judged the quality hard. Yeah.
And I don't like to say that, but it's the way I feel.
But watching this, I kind of did just I have been a bit of a Tina Fey. I think that my Tina Fey relationship is that, like, I really idolized her because I loved 30 Rock and thought she was so funny and cool. And then I was just, like, really off put. I found it, like, extremely offensive and in poor taste when Jane Krakowski played an indigenous woman in season one of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Tina Fey every character was so native halfway through. Issues with
but
race.
I only have that one, frankly. Like, I think that there is, like, commentary on race in 30 Rock that is actually, like, interesting or is, like, engaged with in a way that does not really, like, give for the benefit of the doubt. And I think that, like, I don't know what happened in season two of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt because I was too off put by that decision to do that stuff with the indigenous character that I didn't really, like, follow through. I know there's, like, weird controversy, but also, like, perhaps it's interesting commentary. I don't know. Like, I only have that one. But, like, if you asked me, tell me the things that you find offensive in Tina Fey's work. That's the only thing I've seen with my own eyes that I could say I have an issue with, right?
Yeah. Like, That's the big one, for sure.
And I do have a real issue with that. And I do, like, I don't look at Jane Krakowski or Tina Fey the same way. But I also had, like, this, like, real idolatry of them because I was, you know, like, a high schooler who liked the one thing they were most known for.
Your dream job was an NBC page.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, like, it was not realistic for me to ever see them the way that I did in the past. And it's not like, oh, like, I should just forgive them. It's, like, not my place or whatever. But I think that I kind of, like, in the process of watching this, clocked a little bit for myself that, like, there is some more, like, misogynistic, general, like, witch hunty hate of Tina Fey that exists that I have sort of, like, taken a little bit of pleasure in because I have that, like, one bone to pick with her. When, like, I don't do that with, like, you know, I'm much more, like, open to receiving the rest of the body of work from, like, James Gunn, even though he made those extremely offensive tweets that almost lost him the Guardians of the Galaxy franchise. Like, I don't know. I think that I have allowed myself to just, like, to revel a little bit in, like, sexist backlash to Tina Fey that she receives in largely because of her gender and not actually because of, like, her politics and decisions, because she is not, like, far out of lockstep with what other people are doing. I'm trying to undo that now. Like, this movie did make me feel like I should be kinder to Tina Fey. I should be more open to her stuff. I should watch all of Girls 5 Ever without, like, a little bit of hoping it'll be bad.
I didn't even realize that she write Girls 5 Ever?
I hope so. Otherwise, that was a crazy thing I just said. But yeah, I think I'm almost certain.
You're probably right. I don't know who did. It does give vibes that she... Wait. Writers... She's not in first three names listed.
She was an executive producer for it.
Oh, okay. This didn't really make me think.
See, and she worked with Sarah Bareilles. Why didn't they write the Mean Girls musical? Whatever.
It was after the Mean Girls musical was written.
I know, but imagine what it could have been.
Yeah.
I should watch Great News, too. That's the other thing that she made that
she
I didn't
does
watch.
Do something offensive in that show. It was the first thing that came to mind, but it's actually not about race. It's about, like, sexual harassment. But I do really like Great News. I recommend that show.
Yeah, I'm done thinking of Tina. I'm done trying to catalog all of Tina Fey's sins. And instead, I want to be really excited for her when she takes over for the guy who Lorne Michaels for SNL. You know? I don't know if that'll happen, but I hope it does. And she deserves it. And, like, it's so crazy that I would like Lorne Michaels, who has allowed such a horrible cultures of abuse to exist on his shows, and judge Tina Fey for a handful of jokes that are in poor taste or perhaps even, like, outright offensive. Judgment is appropriate. It's not like it doesn't matter. It's not, but I definitely disproportionately have judged her, you know, compared to the men who do similar stuff.
Yeah, I think that's probably true of me too, but I don't know. I wasn't really reflecting on that too much. And
I think I was reflecting on it because the movie started with her being like, thanks for coming to the theaters to see Mean Girls. And I was like, wow, Tina Fey.
Oh, that did not happen in my theater. But, like, for me, the main thing that I was thinking about with Tina Fey wasn't, like, things being offensive or wanting to dislike her, but just feeling like this movie feels a little, like, out of touch. And that just in general, well, I find Tina Fey to be, like, regardless of who she is as a person, like, I just think some of her jokes hit and some of them don't. She's not my favorite.
I actually think that, like, I fully agree that this movie feels out of touch. I think the other reason I was thinking about, like, Tina Fey and how I should be less judgmental towards her is because I was really appreciating how good and accurate and grounded and specific Mean Girls is. Like, yes. Every time something
it was making me think, wow, the original Mean Girls is a really good movie and it's a really good, like, statement of its time. And this movie is trying to be modern with social media usage, but it feels, like, very confused. Like, this isn't what high school's like. It's what high school was like in 2004.
Exactly. And that is the thing for me, is that, like, it's so I think that Mean Girls, the narrative of Mean Girls is that it's inspired by, like, a book that was written, Mean Girls and or Queen Bees and Wannabes, that was, like, about the experiences that, I don't know, it was just, like, this woman being like, this is kind of my guess about what high schools are like. I haven't read her book. I don't know that it's even good. But it was, like, based on real observations of how young people were interacting. And this feels like it's stuck married to this framework from that book that's just not, like, how young people relate to each other anymore. Like, the queen, there's something feels very accurate about the way that Regina is cool. Like, she feels cool in, like, a Billie Eilish-esque way, almost. Like, she just seems like,
and I just gotta say, because we've been talking for 12 minutes and I haven't said it yet, which is too long, I freaking love Renee Rapp. She can do no wrong in my eyes.
Me too, but Renee Rapp is not Regina. Like, she's a cool girl, and she plays a cool girl in Sex Lives of College Girls. This girl, this character feels reminiscent, but that girl is not a queen bee. Like that concept doesn't really exist in the same way. But if it did, it would not be, like, there's something weird about the sort of, like, plastics also having, like, a slight grunge and, like, you know, like how rich people try to dress like they're poor, like, kind of energy. Like, there's just all this, like, more contemporary stuff on top of this character who is, like, a plastic who runs the school that just doesn't feel, it's just not accurate. Like, and the wannabes don't really want to be, like, you don't want to be Regina in the same way that you do. Like, certainly there are still popular people and people who wield a lot of influence, but, like, in Revenge Party, the people being like, what is Regina doing? What is Regina doing? That doesn't feel like people don't, like, talk about the most popular girl in that same way. It just, yeah, it feels wrong. And so then for there to be, like, TikTok, for that to be happening on TikTok,
yeah,
is, like, weird to me.
I don't really understand the change from the holes in the tank top to having, like, mascara dripping down your face, because that would, no one's gonna have that happen and then everyone's walking around school the next day with their makeup like that. I don't know. It didn't make it, like, feel more 2024 in any way. It was equally absurd.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, yeah,
the thing with influencers commenting, I'm like, we can even say that Regina is an influencer in her, like, school. Like, she posts a lot and people all look and talk about what she posts. But what's his name? Chris, whatever, Meghan Trainor's social media manager, is not going to be commenting on some random high school girl from Illinois. Like, you haven't established her as a celebrity. So it completely takes me out of it when you have, like, these famous influencers as part of the movie. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. It doesn't feel like... The globalness of the internet does, like, undermine, I think, the, like, localness of her influence, because it feels silly that there would be, like, celebrities commenting on this, because it is silly.
But there were some times that the social media actually felt true, like, even in that same montage of after the Christmas talent show, there's like a Snapchat meme of someone like dancing crazy, and it's like, oh, when the plastics fall or something. Like, that felt like, oh yeah, people in high school would do that on Snapchat and put it on their story or something. But like the twins from Jane the Virgin, get out of here.
The thing I wanted to say, inspired by your comment on the mascara too, I think that like some of the jokes are like updated or modernized in ways that still feel funny to me, but there are some things that actually do feel like they're just like a safer choice. Like the big thing in my mind is changing Tim Meadows's line from "I did not leave the South Side for this" to "I did not go to graduate school for this." That's just like, that's, it has the same energy of the mascara, because it feels like there's something about like, oh, like there's something a little too sexually, like we were kind of making fun of sexual harassment a little bit more with the tank top thing, so maybe it's safer to do the mascara.
Cutting holes in boobs is sexual harassment. I didn't even think about that.
but those things don't hit, like, you know, like it doesn't hit as hard to be a slightly tamer version of the joke. But especially when the non-tame version of the joke is so iconic. That's the real thing for me also, is like every time something like iconic from the movie happened, I wouldn't feel like, oh, yes, you go Glenn Coco, that's so funny. I would feel like, oh, that's from Mean Girls. That's a funny movie. Like,
the whole thing with
watching Mean Girls,
with Gretchen saying fetch for the first time and Regina's like, what's that? She's like, I think it's from like a movie from the 2000s or something. I was like, girl, what? Where are we?
Should we talk about what happens in this?
Yeah. We also start off, I was like, what's happening? So
I liked it.
It begins with a selfie.
The narration
video
in this is a little bit messy, though.
Yeah. Of Janice and Damien, were played by Ali Carvalho and Jaquel Spivey. I'm not sure.
I didn't know Ali Carvalho would be in this, and I was, I think it is Jaquel Spivey.
Spivey.
And I didn't know Ali Carvalho was Janice, and she was great. I was so happy to see her. I turned to Marcy and I was like, is that Ali Carvalho? And Marcy was like, I do not know who that is or what you're saying to me. I was like, I think I'm right.
The two of them and Renee Rapp, I felt like, were carrying this movie.
Yeah, they sing a cautionary tale to sort of like introduce the show, and then they open a garage door and we're in Africa, and I was not excited by our introduction to Andrew Rice's singing, because it was a shot from behind her, so the sound is kind of muffled, like, I think to capture the perspective, but I was like, I can't hear you, I don't know what you're saying, like, what is
and
going on?
Stay on her back for a weirdly long time.
Yes.
And this song was written, I think, I saw this on social media, that it was written by Renee Rapp to replace a song from the musical, which I was excited about. I was like, get rid of as many songs from that musical as possible. But this one did not feel like an improvement, unfortunately.
This was not that great a song, and I also do think, like, honoring my frustration with The Color Purple, when someone writes a cohesive score, like omissions and additions in the spirit of that score is one thing, but like inviting someone who writes pop music to just add a song to the score instead of something, like if it's going in the place of something or it's meant to sort of do, it's just not gonna, it's so in no world will it hit as hard, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like the exceptions being like I Love You, I Do in the Dreamgirls movie, which does hit because that's just like its own beat, you know? Like I think that can kind of work. And the context is even that she's like recording that song.
Yeah, a lot of the music in Dreamgirls is diegetic, that it doesn't need to propel the story as much.
But this did feel like a musical idea that we didn't return to, which is fine because I couldn't hum a bar.
I already.
And it was so fast and weird, like it just was. You know, Andre Rice is the weakest singer in this, mm-hmm. which is fine, but it was a really, yeah,
people have really been hating on her on social media in a way that I don't really think is fair, because she didn't cast herself in this movie. And I think she's a really good actor, and I think that she acts the role of Katie really well.
Yeah, she does.
And I think she's a fine singer, and it's not her fault that they, like, smoothed over every note in post to make it sound completely lifeless. Like, I would have rather heard her raw voice. Yeah, it does have the
Bell. Exactly. Yeah, the Emma Watson and Bell problem.
That's what I was talking to. I saw this movie with Hannah, and after the fact, she was like, I'm just thinking about that Sideways video talking about the Beauty and the Beast remake. I was like, yeah.
Yeah. I do think that part of why that happens to singers like that is that, like, when there's not a lot of power in your voice, it's, like, hard. I think it's hard to process that tone and not have it sound completely lifeless, which, it, like, you know, there's just no moment where you're like, oh, wow, like, listen to her belt a note or something. Like, there's just no moment where you hear any power in her voice. And so then because all of the performance is happening in these subtle sort of unpowerful things, they just get glossed over so much more obviously than coming from other singers. But yeah, like they kind of did her dirty in that way.
But basically the
but
song...
I think when you can be done dirty in that way, it reflects that your voice probably did not have the power, like it was,
yeah, no, she would definitely be the weakest singer no matter what, but like I think that it would have been more interesting to hear it not, like I was saying, that one part in Revenge Party that she sings that like sounds actively bad, I was like, this is the most I've liked your singing.
Yeah. So we meet Katie in Kenya. She just has a mom. It's Jenna Fisher from The Office.
Mom now.
Yeah. And I don't really understand what she's saying. They apparently had just had a fight off screen before the movie started.
Yeah, she's like, I was thinking about our fight and how you said this, this, and this. I was like, what a weird way to start this movie.
And Katie's like, no, I've kind of moved on. Don't even worry about it. I'm like, from what, though? What was the fight? And then she's like, no, but actually I took that job at Northwestern. And she's like, what? You did?
And then she just starts running and singing, dead sprinting. And she says like, goofy my limit does not exist.
Yeah.
And then
they go to this soundstage looking thing, and then she opens it and she's in high school.
Yeah, to the school.
And then people are just backflipping and throwing each other, and they're making out.
There's these two guys that like do a backflip and then they make out with each other.
And then, yeah, that was also, I was like, the inclusion of queerness, but not, yeah, like, whatever. Is it cool to be queer in the world of this movie? I can't tell.
Yeah.
Because people are so bullied for it. But also, they're just backflipping and kissing all over.
Like, true to 2004 in a way that then there's all these plot lines about homophobia that they're like, trying to make about something else because people aren't homophobic anymore. I don't know.
Right. Like, it's not like it's, like, good that in the 2000s calling an artsy kid gay was an insult to them. But, like, it was. Like, yeah, like, mm-hmm. if Regina just spreads a rumor that Janice is gay when Janice is gay, and Janice is also openly gay and even brings a girl to the dance. Like, it doesn't even feel like Janice was outed. It just feels like the rumor was a fact. It doesn't really, yeah, like, it doesn't really make sense to me.
Yeah.
Whereas Janice, like, resenting Regina, like, Regina saying, "You're so obsessed with me, you're gay," when they were friends, is like the dynamic of that being hurtful to Janice, even if she's not gay, is clear in the original movie.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
But yeah. So then she's in homeroom and she meets Janice and Damien, and
we also meet Tim Meadows. Shout out to Tim Meadows for playing the exact same role twice, and it's
in the exact
just
same
as good
way.
As interesting the second time. No, I don't think so, actually. I think he delivered the exact same lines in different ways. Like, I was like, this man has layers and so much talent. He's just so good in anything. He can play the exact same role two times and still, you're like, what a good, fresh performance. Like, I did not feel like this man was just dragging himself to work to repeat a job that he did in 2004.
No, it felt fresh, but also very similar.
Yeah, it's the exact
same
character.
It's the same lines.
Every element of freshness comes from him and only him. There's no one else is helping him do it. Yeah.
And weirdly, he and Miss Norbury are married in this version.
Yeah.
But that's not important. So then,
and also, okay, a weird scene happens where Miss Norbury, Katie comes to school and the principal is like, comes to her homeroom and is like, "Everybody, this is a new student. Come to the front of the room." And then the teacher, the homeroom teacher in front of the full class, is like, "Do you need help going from class to class?" She's like, "No." She's like, "Okay." And that's homeroom. It was just a weird place for that conversation to happen.
And then we, like, see her in all her classes. Ashley Park is the French teacher. John Hamm is the gym teacher. And then she's in calc, and, she meets Aaron Samuels, played by Chris Briney. I don't know how he pronounces his last name either, from the Summer I Turned Pretty. And as soon as he turned around, someone in front of me in the theater, like, gagged. And then the people in, like, the vicinity of us all started, like, cracking up. And I was like, I was literally about to gag right before
I also had. He was not an unattractive person, and he was good
in
his role, but
makes
just
me
that
gag.
First reveal was
if
just
you've
like,
watched
oh.
The Summer I Turned Pretty, it's just like, this guy is just so gag-worthy to me. I'm sorry.
I did not want to gag, but I haven't seen The Summer I Turned Pretty. I was like, oh, what? Who are you? Like, I was kind of alarmed by him.
And the hair is not good.
Yes. And he had, like, a tiny little mustache that wasn't quite... It was just, like, there was something a little weird about it, about his face in that one shot. It had big, like, just... I'm just starting to grow a mustache early in puberty energy, his face to me.
Yeah.
He had, like, freshman or sophomore in high school energy, not senior in high school energy to me. And he was supposed to be...
Yeah, and he
senior.
Was supposed to be older than them, and he just looks inherently younger than everyone else. Yeah. And then Katie sings Stupid with Love.
Did we miss something? Because Meet the Plastics happens before
yes.
Stupid with Love.
I guess we did. So I guess calc is after lunch.
So yes, she does a bunch of classes. She, you know the scene from Mean Girls where she doesn't know where to sit, so she goes and eats in the cafeteria. I mean, she goes and eats in the bathroom. That exact thing happens. And then Damien
and then the thing in Mean Girls when Janice and Damien go into the bathroom. Except no one comments on him being in the girls' bathroom in this movie because we're post-gender.
You're gay, you're a woman. But yeah, so they go into the bathroom, they say, you
come
should
out
sit
of the bathroom. Well, they're like, yeah. We'll help you find where you
belong. We'll
help
you find your clique. And then she says, can I sit with
which
you?
Is where the song Where Do You Belong would go, which they thankfully cut. And then they're showing her all the different cliques, and she's like, who are they? And they're like, oh my God, those are the Plastics. And then the lights go out, and Regina George stomps down the cafeteria with her cheese fries. And it becomes like a horror movie, which I really liked
in part
this,
because that every time I felt like the sequence was so similar to the Mean Girls movie that it was jarring for me when they started singing. I was like, oh, that's so weird that we just went from like redoing a sequence that doesn't have music in it to like a big sort of like genre-y lights go out horror movie reveal. Like, I don't know. It didn't flow for me, but I'm glad you liked it.
I did like it. I liked all of the stark transitions into musical numbers. And
I liked the one at the party.
Yeah. And they like play with genre and lighting in all of the musical numbers in a way that I enjoyed. So like every time Regina has a song, it feels like you're watching a horror movie. and she just sings about how she's a massive deal. And then she's like, hey, you, yeah, you come over here. And Janice and Damien are like, no, no, don't do it. But she does. And then they do that whole scene, except they don't say, if you're from Africa, why are you white? Because Tina Fey's like, no one call me racist, please.
And for that, I am sorry, because that's a funny joke.
Yeah. And I saw someone.
Karen, you can't just ask people why they're white.
I did see a TikTok about this that I agreed with. They were like, it would be even funnier now because Karen is played by a person of color. And also, who are you going to offend? White South Africans? Like,
offend them. Do it.
But
no, it's not an offensive. I don't think there's anything offensive about that joke.
Mm-hmm.
It's just about race.
It's about race.
I mean, like, truly, I do
think Tina Fey's been hated too many times for discussing race in any way,
which is a shame because I think she actually is good at it a lot of the time. Like, you know, she goofs it sometimes, for example, and the only example I have in Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, that one time. I'm not even talking about the other stuff that happens later on in Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt because I don't have an opinion on that yet. I never will. I will not watch that show.
Mm-hmm.
That's not part of my Tina Fey forgiveness campaign. It's just that I'll watch Grey Goose.
But then the scene happens pretty much the same, that they're like, we're going to invite you to sit with us at lunch for the next week. And then Janice and Damien are like, oh my God, you should totally do it. And then tell us all the dumb stuff they say. And she's like,
and again, okay. Not to like beat a dead horse here, but like Regina dresses like a cool girl in 2024. Like she's got like this Billie Eilish grunge pant, like highlighter yellow pants and kind of mismatched shirt and top. They just don't feel like the like manicured perfect femininity concept that like the plastics in the original movie are like, these are our rules about how you have to look to sit with us. It are like, I don't think those rules get spoken aloud anymore, and the rules are so much like weirder. Like, it's just not mm-hmm. like it doesn't, it feels weird that they're like,
the sweats,
you can't sit with us if you're wearing sweatpants.
Yeah, that
I'm
doesn't
like, what do you
hit
consider sweatpants?
Because they're wearing like cargo pants to
yeah,
look
you
cool.
Can't sit with us in sweatpants.
Like in the original,
wear
they're wearing
pants.
Mini skirts every day, so sweatpants is like a big deal. They're
and the scene where
like,
Regina does wear sweatpants, it's just like, why are your pants not fitting you? All your pants are slouchy cargo pants. I don't understand. But anyway,
yeah,
but they say all the rules from the 2000s as if they make sense, and everyone's like, yes, of course, we follow those rules, but without trying very hard at all.
And then she goes to Calc and meets Aaron and sings Stupid with Love. And then that song ends with her almost getting hit by a bus. And I was like, these buses are going way too fast. This
you
is
know,
not a realization I had in the when I saw the original as a kid. But then I was like, why? You're in the school parking
but I
lot.
I do think it's like, it's so good in the original Mean Girls, the bus. Like, it's so unexpected. It's so weird. They do sort of set it up with how crazy fast those buses are going, but you don't think about it. But it's, like, such an original thing. Like, that's the bad girl. The Mean Girl got hit by a bus, it, like, right by towards the end of the movie. it only happens in Mean Girls. And so it just feels weird. It feels like, oh yeah, they're setting up that she's going to get hit by a bus in a way that it doesn't in the original. I don't know.
And we'll talk about it, but the actual getting hit by a bus doesn't hit nearly as well as in the original. But anyway, she doesn't get hit by a bus, and her mom was like, oh my God, Katie. And she comes and picks her up from school. And then, I don't know, it's like
how fast those buses go.
It's like
the next... no one says anything.
Okay. The next day at school, or maybe it's Wednesday, when they're wearing pink, she's like, she tells Gretchen, they're like, oh, so are there any cute boys that you like so far? And she's like, oh, there's this boy in my math class. And they're like, oh my God, that's so cute. And then she's like, his name's Aaron. And then they're like, oh my God, that's Regina's ex-boyfriend. I don't know if anything else happens, but she's talking to Janice and Damien about it. What happens? So Regina says that they're going to go to her house and she's going to give her some shoes.
After school.
How do we get and into Apex Predator?
Well, she's saying, like, do you really think it would be that big a deal if I went for Aaron? Like, Regina seems kind of nice and normal. And they're like, no, you don't understand. Regina is, like, she's an apex predator. Exactly. And then they're singing this song and showing, like, how people always do what she wants and how, like, she... you can't get in Regina's way. They're like spying and singing this song,
which also I didn't think about it in the moment, but like the whole everyone acting like animals doesn't really make as much sense when it's not coming from Katie.
Yes. Yeah, the narration in this is weird because it is like there are moments where it seems like Katie's the narrator, but also Janice and Damien are the narrator. And they're not like, let us put this in terms you can understand. I guess, no, she does. She says, like, maybe we can have a commensurary relationship.
Oh, like, yeah.
Like tigers or whatever. And they're
right,
like.
Right, right. Okay.
They're like, oh, we love that metaphor. We're not going to really engage with what you've said. We're just going to explain to you that she's the apex predator. And you would be nuts to try to have a commensurary relationship with her. Just get away. But also go and get the shoes. So they go to Regina's house. We meet Busy Phillips, who
goes,
is Regina's
mom.
Loser,
but she doesn't say we're going shopping because they're just going to her house. And yes, we meet Busy Phillips. This is another thing
and
that I was like, just say the line from the movie. She's like, I'm not a regular mom. I'm at Cool Mom 6969300 or something. I was like, that's not funny.
Well, there is something like, yeah, it's such a, there's not like juicy sweatpants wearing moms anymore. Like it's, you know, maybe there are, but they're not like the cool girls moms anymore. It's so like the mom that Amy Poehler is in that movie is like, I went to high school with people whose moms were like that. Who are, like,
I think
they're totally drinking the house.
There and, are like, still moms like that.
But they don't present, like, I am visualizing a specific woman right now, and I don't want to say her name, but she had the exact energy of Amy Poehler. Like, she was dressed like
didn't wear juicy sweatpants.
No, but she's wearing a tracksuit. It's just, like, not, like, she's still invoking this image of a specific 2000s mom who is the parent of a cool kid who puts a lot of her own self-worth in how cool her kid is and wants to be seen also as cool by her kid's friends. Like she is sort of in the, like, mm-hmm. this weird sort of stunted mentality of also being in the high school hierarchy. And like,
no, it doesn't hit as hard because also they try to hammer it in too hard. Like, as Busy Phillips is leaving the room, she's like, it doesn't get better. I'm like, we get that you are living through your daughter. You didn't need to say that your life sucks. We understood
and
that.
And I also think that, like, the contemporary image of a parent living through their child is, like, a parent who's
will
very
you
obsessed
write
with, like,
my daughter's college essay for me.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there is a new type of like of mom who is too in the high school world, and she's not wearing a juicy tracksuit and trying to, like, get the kids to drink at her house. She's writing her kid's college essay and, like, paying people to say that she's good at crew or whatever. Like these are the iconic things of this time. But that's not what this movie's about. And that's not, like, because this movie is about 2000s. It's just set in 2024.
I just want to say, though, that there are definitely, they don't have as, or at least we don't know what the iconography of them are, but, like, all the kids that were my campers, who some of them did find out about this podcast. So as I'm saying this, I'm like, hope you're not listening. But, like, their moms would let them drink and encourage them to have parties and be completely hands off and, like, but like it's a thing. Like, I guess for rich,
yeah,
parents.
You just don't know what they look like.
Yeah. But anyway,
I'm not doubting that it's a thing, and, like, obviously kids still have parties in houses. I just don't think it just is such a specific, like, trope of a particular era to me that I
but
don't
that might,
I don't
that
see.
Might just be because that's the era that you lived,
but I don't think so.
I think it's a bit of both.
Okay, but like the tracksuit in particular is, like, the thing for me. I don't think that moms wear tracksuits. I don't think that kind of mom wears a tracksuit anymore.
She would be wearing, like, a Lululemon zip-up and leggings.
Maybe.
Yes, she would.
Okay. But not a bright pink tracksuit.
But the zip-up would be bright. Anyway.
Okay.
So then they're in Regina's room, and they're looking at the burn book, and they see Janice's picture, and it says Pyro Les, and then Damien's in the picture with them, and they're like, "And who's that weird guy?" And she's like, "Oh, that's Damien. He's in my homeroom. He's almost too gay to function," which is what Damien and Janice said about him in the beginning. And they're like, "Oh my God, that's so good. It's going in the book." And she's like, "Oh, I didn't mean that, like, as an insult." They're like, "No, of course. It's just funny. Whatever. Of course it's not an insult to be gay. We're just putting it in the book because, I don't know." And then something happens that Regina's like, "Gretchen, you are so annoying."
Yeah, Gretchen's just, like, talking.
Yeah, it does kind of come out of nowhere that she's like, "You're being so annoying right now." And then she sends Gretchen to go get the shoes for Katie. And then Gretchen, which is this, I found very strange that Gretchen and Katie are in the closet together. And Gretchen is singing "What's Wrong With Me," which is a song that's like, "Oh, Regina, just tell me everything that's wrong with me and make me completely change who I am." But, like, to Katie, and Katie's just like, "I'm gonna go." It was weird.
And they give Katie these shoes that it's like, girl, use your brain and eyes. No one is wearing shoes like this to school. Like, this is crazy. Like, you know, this is not what you need to wear to be cool.
But that's not how it, this is another thing. It's the shoes that they would give her in 2004, and they were all wearing them. But now, the plastics are not wearing, like, pumps like that.
Yeah,
I don't know what, like, shoes they're wearing, sneakers. But yeah, like Doc Martens or something.
Yeah, they're like, "Here, take these stilettos," and she's like, "Okay." And then she's like, then she sticks out like a sore thumb at school for wearing these shoes. Everyone's like looking at her like, "What are you wearing?"
I think she only wears them to calc, though, because she wants to impress Aaron. It's not important. Then she's in calc and she's wearing the shoes, and I think we have a
dialogue exchange has happened with Damien and Janice where they have been like, "Oh, you should give her, you should give a Caltine bar to Regina," or whatever. And she's like, "No, I'm just going to go to lunch and that's it. Like, her friendship is primarily with, and we see like a sequence of passing time where she and Damien and Janice are like hanging out and talking and being friends.
But we only really see them talking about how Katie likes Aaron. Like, it's a montage That's of true. Passing time of just Katie telling them all the stupid stuff that she says to Aaron and them being like, wow, can't you be normal? And then one day Aaron asks her to go to this Halloween party. And she does. And Karen sings a song called Sexy.
I feel like, in general, Karen has very little to do in this movie. And I don't know if that's also true in the musical or if they just cut whatever Karen's deal is. You know, her boobs can't tell the weather anymore. That's fine.
But, I know that this is Karen's big song in the musical. I don't know if they cut the thing about her boobs being able to tell the weather.
And
it's
and
like I have ESPN or something. That's such a good line.
The character is dumb in a way that, like, I don't know. It just doesn't, it feels less funny and more sad to me. like she just seems like, it seems like she's, like, taken the Amanda Seyfried performance up a notch, but one notch higher, and it's like, are you okay? Like, like, it just is concerning. And she's so, like, she doesn't really, like, register when people are mean to her. She's really, that character is just, like, flown through life. Completely unaffected.
I think that's pretty much how Karen is in the movie, though. She just has some more iconic lines. I think in the movie
there's a moment where, isn't there a moment on a three-way call where Karen hears someone say that she's dumb?
Oh, and yeah, we they sort cut of see the her, whole like, call when she says, but, boo, you whore.
Yeah, I think that Karen has, there's an element of Karen, like, we can see moments where Karen chooses to not engage with the way that she, like, on some level she knows how people perceive her and how she comes off, and then she seems to more actively choose to not, like, there's an element of choice in the way that she's presenting herself, where this Karen, it just seems like this girl is concerningly unaware of what's going on. Like, I'm worried that she's being taken advantage of because I just don't know that she understands anything. And her deal is that she loves to be sexy. It's like, yeah, she has the mind of a toddler and people admire her, and she wants to be sexy. It's just, like, uncomfortable in a way that, like, Amanda Seyfried's character is choosing to be this. Like some of the dumbness feels like it comes from a place of, like, it's sexy that I'm dumb. This Karen is both sexy and unrelatedly extremely dumb.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just that her character's not really explored at all. And I kind of feel like it's probably the same way in the musical, but I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But this song is just about how she likes to dress sexy, and she loves Halloween because everyone gets to dress sexy. And people were mad. This was a lyric change that I was seeing people up in arms about, that in the musical she says, I expect to rule the world in shoes I cannot walk in, and in the movie she says, watch me as I rule the world in shoes I cannot walk in. And people are like, that's like just trying to be like feminist but ignoring the whole point of the song. I'm like, it's not good either way. It barely changes anything. You need to calm down.
My big gripe about this song was that she starts out singing like badly, like, yeah, like as a character choice.
It took like 3 minutes for the song to get good.
Yeah, it was too much. Like, they do a little gag where she's singing, like, she starts singing and then she's like, oh, let me start over. She's like recording. The song is like a TikTok. Too much of the song is like TikTok dances, but not like watching people do TikTok dances, like watching 16 squares cover the screen of people doing TikTok dances. And she's just putting on
different costumes.
Yeah.
Which is a form of TikTok.
Yeah, no, it does look like real TikToks, but I just don't want to look at a grid of TikToks for an entire movie.
I would rather watch dancing in a movie than I would want to watch just people putting on different outfits.
But she starts singing the song and she like makes a mistake and then starts over. And I was like, great, now she'll sing well. But she sings the entire amount that she sang poorly. And then like the first chorus kind of poorly too. Mm-hmm. And then we get to the party and she's like, okay, now let me prove I can sing. It's like, it's too late for you. I have written you off in my mind.
And then Katie shows up and she's in the like, I don't even know, dead bride costume.
Yeah, the exact same costume from the...
And Aaron is like, wow, I love it. You're not like other girls. You don't dress sexy.
You're so hideous. You're not like other girls. Every girl is beautiful except for you. And I love that for you.
And then Regina's like texting Gretchen like, ew, what is she wearing? Why is she here? And Gretchen's like, Aaron invited her. And then she's like, what? Why? This is all happening over text. And then she's like, Katie likes Aaron. And then Regina goes over to Katie and she's like, you guys would be really cute together. She's like, really? Whatever. She's like, oh, I'll help you out. And then she goes over to Aaron and she sings Someone Gets Hurt, which, again, I don't like this song, but I love Renee Rapp.
I liked the way that this was shot. Like,
yeah, I loved the way it was shot.
Yeah.
Like, I saw this being performed at, like, whatever. What's that thing that's not Broadway at Bryant Park? It's, like, Stars Over Broadway or something. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. It's, like, an American Airlines version. Like, they performed it there, and I was like, this song is awful, but the, the way it's shot makes it a better song to me. So kudos. And Renee Rapp singing it. But she's being like, oh, you know, I'm just a regular girl, and maybe I put on too many airs with you and didn't show you, like, how much I cared, and now it's hard to see you liking someone else. And then they make out, and then Katie's like, and then she goes crying to Janice and Damien about it.
And Janice and Damien give her some convoluted backstory on why Janice, like this is where we learn that it's like a whole lengthy story that I was like, I'm not really following this. It is really
long. I think I can remember. So
Janice and Regina gave each other these little stuffed animals. And
I think had one for her and gave one to Regina.
Okay, they both came from Janice. And Janice put a pride pin on one.
Her plushie as a way of coming out.
To come out to her
friend. And then Regina put a pride pin on hers as a form of allyship. And then Regina had a crush on some ugly boy, and they played Spin the Bottle, and it landed on Janice, and Regina and Janice kissed, and Regina
the boy span, and it landed on Janice, so then Regina kissed Janice in front of everyone so that Janice wouldn't kiss the boy, and then after she kissed her, she said, I knew she would let me do that because she's obsessed with me or whatever. So then the boy obviously didn't want to kiss Janice because Janice is a lesbian, and then
which I mean like
then their friendship just starts to fall apart, and then, they don't talk anymore, but Regina still brings the plushie around to school every day,
and she makes everyone say hi to it, which it was embarrassing, or I don't remember what. But Damien said something like, that was funny. He was like, it was weird and embarrassing or something. But she called it Sissy Liz. And then one day, Janice heard it, that Sissy Liz was...
Obsessive lesbian.
Les or something. So then she set the plush on fire. And also part of Regina's backpack got set on fire. So then they suspended Janice
for the entire year
because they didn't know that it was actually because Regina was bullying her. I was like, that wouldn't have changed the punishment that much, I think. She still set a fire.
Well, it seems like she had
school.
To leave school for the whole year, which is a crazy punishment. That's extremely severe.
Yeah, well, I bet it was like April.
For middle schoolers? And Katie only gets suspended for 2 weeks for the whole burn book.
For accusing a teacher of being a drug dealer.
Yeah.
But anyway. So that's the whole story about why Janice doesn't like Regina. And Katie's like, oh my god, that's so terrible.
And then they sing Revenge Party.
Yeah. And then they never had a party. I always thought that this song was amping up to a party.
But I know I would think that, but I...
And I mean, when I think about what happens in Mean Girls, yeah, there is no party that they plan together. But I always thought that this song was about them planning a party where they were going to get revenge on Regina. Why call it a party if there's no party?
That's a great question.
But anyway, it's a fun song.
This is where they like a party.
A party that ends with somebody's head on a spike.
I liked it more than I've ever liked hearing snippets of that song, seeing it in context, because a lot of stories happening in between the verses. And Aliyu Carvalho is doing a great job singing it.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, within the song, so much happens in the song. They start giving her the Caltine bars. They give her some lard as face cream. They do the candy cane thing. Yeah, right. Which that scene doesn't hit as hard when it just feels like, oh, it's that scene from Mean Girls.
And then Gretchen's like, because it says, thanks for being such a good best friend. So then Gretchen is like, well, fine. If you're her best friend now, then you can be responsible for keeping all her secrets. Like this, and that she's actually cheating on Aaron every week in the janitor's closet with Shane Omen. And then Katie's recording it, and then she tells Aaron, and then he catches her and breaks up with her.
But he's sad.
Yeah.
Because he's being cheated on.
Mm-hmm.
And then it starts to be the case that Katie is, like, getting a little bit sucked into the plastics. Like, we're seeing that start to happen. She was putting on makeup. Mm-hmm. But also they successfully do their revenge, right? Like, then we see... Is there another scene before the You Can't Sit With Us?
Yeah.
Oh, the iCarly theme. Santa. yeah, sorry. I should have looked at the song list.
So, they're getting ready for the talent show where they're gonna do Rockin' Around the Pole. You know, Katie's being added... And Regina's, like, just having a bad time. She's got a huge pimple. She is gaining weight. And Gretchen's like, maybe we should practice the, like, acrobatics part. Because, you know, we're not the same size as we used to be. And she's like, what? We don't need to practice. It'll be fine. So then... they do it, but first Damien sings the iCarly theme song in French, and it's really dramatic, and I liked that.
Yes, me too. So then they do Kevin G does his rap, but he gets cut off because it's too explicit.
Sexual.
And then the girls do their sexy pole
upside
dance.
Down twerking,
and then
Regina falls.
And now Regina is dethroned. This is the official dethroning of Regina. Everyone's Katie is trending. Regina is flopping. Everyone's sharing videos. The gym teacher is participating in the social media.
Why does everyone love Katie now? Because in the original, it's like, oh, she was the star because she sang the song when it stopped. But in this, they're just like, oh, that was so embarrassing for Regina. But that girl, Katie, she was doing her little hips. I'm like, this would not make her the new queen bee. But yeah, now everyone likes her.
Because now to be a queen bee, you just have to be kind of like weird and aloof. And they're like, what's that girl's story? She's so cool. But now she's, like, applying her makeup and not listening to her friends during the announcements that Tim Meadows is doing on the TV for some reason.
And she's nominated for Spring Fling Queen or whatever.
Yeah.
And also Janice and Damien are like, well, Regina has fallen. You don't have to sit with them at lunch anymore. You can sit with us. And then she's like, I just want to have one more lunch. And I was like, what about the party?
But also in this scene, the principal announces that Janice has been selected for some art award or some art competition. And Katie says she can't go because she has to go to Madison for something with her mom. And they're like, wow, you seem really bummed about that. And then we get the you can't sit with us lunch scene. Regina wearing sweatpants instead of her usual cargo pants because her cargo pants don't fit. But her sweatpants do. Can't sit with them. It is over. She is the meanest girl at school or whatever. The mean girl has been toppled. But now the friends are like, Gretchen and Karen don't know what to do without Regina. So they're like,
what are we doing this weekend? And she's like, oh, I have to go to Madison with my mom. And she's like, oh, so your house will be empty. And she's like, no, I'm going with her. And she's like, well, just don't. So then she's like crying to her mom. She's like, if you did, you could bring Aaron. Friend. Oh, yeah.
So she lies to her mom about wanting to go to the art show, not the
Neil deGrasse Tyson. That's what they're going to see. And then she invites Aaron over, and then there's a bunch of people there. And
she gets a little drunk. She tells Aaron that she was lying about being bad at math so that he would talk to her. He's like, what? That's so insane and psycho. You're just like Regina. And she's like, what? No. She runs to try to catch him, but outside she falls, the party.
And then Janice comes and she's like, wow, I saw everyone posting about your party on Snapchat or whatever. And then she like starts rapping, which I actually just heard the song. This is the Someone Gets Hurt reprise, which I just heard for the first time, like the actual Broadway version. And it is just her speaking, but like it feels much clearer that it's a song because there's like instrumental music playing as she's speaking. But in this, it's just like Janice just starts rapping and then she goes, it's fine.
That moment also made me feel like poor Barrett Wilbert Weed having to do this role 8 days a week. There's just too much screaming for this character. Yeah. Like for Ali doing it in a movie, it's like, great. Yeah, you just had to lay down those vocals a few studio sessions and now that is what it is. But like 8 days a week for like a year.
Yeah.
Ouchie. That is crazy. This music was written by a man.
So then she's lost her friends, and the art was this beautiful embroidered image of the three of them. And then Regina's running on a treadmill, and her mom's like, why are you eating Keltine bars? This is what we gave Nana to gain weight. And then she screams, and then she sings World Burn. Which I've actually always, well, not always, but I have liked this song.
I have heard this song before, Mean Girls released some video of Renee Rapp singing it. And I did like that when it happened.
So this is when she writes in the burn book and puts her own picture. I thought it was going to be much more epic if she was, like, throwing all the copied pages in the hall as she's singing. But she just drops the book in the hallway.
I know. Yeah.
So that was a bit of a letdown. But then people pick it up. And then it's like she's walking in the hall, belting her heart out as everyone's like beating each other up. Which also, I don't really know why everyone's beating each other up, because we don't have those scenes of people, like, finding out that they were cheating on the same guy or whatever. Like, there was reasons that people started fighting in the movie that didn't happen in this version. Yeah. Everyone's just hitting each other.
Right, because people are not interacting with each other like Mean Girls in the... They're interacting with each other mostly like it's 2024, mm-hmm. but just occasionally there'll be a little bit of, like, 2000s Mean Girl behavior, and they want to beat each other up for it.
So then, Tim Meadows pulls a fire alarm and says all the junior girls into the gymnasium.
I did not go to graduate school for this. It's also weirdly gendered now because there's not, like, the same... I guess all the girls are in the book. But yeah, it's just like, it's strange that it's just the girls who are gathering.
I mean, that's not more gendered. It's because all the girls are in the book.
Yeah, but, you know, in the when they're fighting over specific things, when there's a bunch of conflict between a bunch of different girls, then that feels like a different thing. In this case, it feels like it should just be, like, the three people who probably wrote this come to the principal's office.
Well, everyone's breaking the school rules by beating each other up in the hallway.
Good point. Okay, everyone's expelled.
Anyway, then they do the whole, they get rid of the line that's like, raise your hand if you've ever been personally victimized by Regina George. And they
do
the,
that's classic.
The falling back and catching.
And the girl who just has a lot of feelings is there.
And Karen does the thing where she falls forward and it's like, oh my God. And then Janice comes up and she has something written, but then Regina's like, this girl, she's obsessed with me or something. And she's like, you know what? I want to apologize to Regina because my friend Katie and I had this whole plan to destroy your life. And we did this, this, and this. And Katie, you also suck. So your best friend screwed you over, acted nice, but she not nice.
The context of this song, I was like, because I like this song, but I was like, this is when this happens? It just doesn't feel right. It feels like,
well,
it should.
I was, once I knew that this was the context, that it's this moment when Janice comes up, because also that's like such a good moment in the movie, and all the girls are like, yeah! And I was like, this is going to be like epic. I know this song is kind of dumb, but like, I'm really excited to hear Aaliyah Carvalho sing it, and like, it's going to, the vibes are just going to be immaculate. And then she immediately runs out of the gym and is just running
around.
She also
turns away
school.
From the group. Like she turns and sort of breaks the fourth wall and starts singing to the audience. So she's not even ever singing to the girls.
No one ever comes together. She barely talks to anyone. She's just flitting around the whole school, interacting with
the kids,
people
shouting, Janice,
extras.
Janice, Janice, our random band kids.
It's just, like, has no impact when it could have been great. And then the bus comes. We just see Regina and Katie fighting in the background and don't hear what they're saying. And then Janice is singing the big note.
She's singing the last
to
notes,
the camera. And we see
some of the worst lyric setting in musical theater history, because Barrett Wilbur Weed goes, I'd rather be May than Bay with you, because she doesn't want to have to sing it. Be me, like, at these high belty notes. And Ali doesn't do that. She chooses to pronounce the words correctly. And that also sounds bad. There's just no way to sing the big finale of that song in a way that doesn't sound like, what? What are you doing? Which is a bummer, but she sings it really well. But
yeah, like, she sings it really well. And I was like, this could have been so great. But instead, it leaves me feeling like I missed the big Janice moment, and I missed the emotional climax and the bus scene. Like, we don't get to hear what Regina says, and then she just gets hit by a bus. So that's that.
And then we see a little montage of social media stuff. Did Katie push her in front of the bus? Who's to say? We know Katie didn't, but not with as much confidence as
we because
do
we couldn't see it.
And then the Miss Norberry is not in class because she's being potentially investigated for being a drug dealer. So Katie says, I wrote that and it's a lie. She gets suspended for 2 weeks. Her mom is like, what? You're such a bad kid. But then she's quickly like, oh, it's okay. I love you. Don't worry. I'm sorry. You did a bad thing. And then I guess she goes, oh, when she's going to go back to school, her mom is like, how bad is it going to be? And she's like, can I be homeschooled again? And her mom's like, aw, sweetie, you're learning stuff I could never teach you. And so she goes back to school.
Oh, that just reminded me that there's a joke that Tina Fey makes in this movie that if this was in the original, it was a weird thing to keep in because no one, like, talks about this joke. But Katie's like, oh, I was homeschooled. And she's like, oh, wow, taking jobs away from my union. I'm like, do you realize that teachers are extremely overworked? I don't think a teacher would ever be like, ugh, you've taken one student away from me. No, as someone who wants to be a teacher,
if you were homeschooling your kids, I'd judge you so hard.
I would judge the parents, but not because they're taking jobs away from me, but because
that would be a fun little joke to make instead of saying, oh, your mom's a nut job.
It just didn't need to be included. I found another thing that just... why? But anyway, back to the end of this movie.
Yes. Yeah, she's like, hey, you're learning, extra credit, you're learning things
I couldn't teach you. That's what her mom says. And I'm like, yes, that's why you shouldn't be homeschooled.
Ms. Norberry offers her to join the mathlete thing to get extra credit for having failed all her call quizzes because she was trying to impress Aaron. So she does. So then it's time for the dance. There's a really weirdly long, like, stupid with love reprise that's sort of just underscoring the everything that's
the
going
mathletes
on.
Competition.
And people getting ready for prom.
Which also Lindsay Lohan is the host of the math competition. And yeah,
Janice has a girl we've never seen before.
And they're acting like this is a really big moment. I'm like, who are you?
Yeah, I said the exact same thing.
And then they win.
They
the
win
math
the
math competition.
Thing. They both pick the girl to do the math.
And she says the limit does not exist. And then they go to prom or whatever, spring fling. And they, like, get there just in time for the king and queen. Shane Omen wins. Oh, yeah.
Regina
drops
her Elf brand cosmetics right in the sink, and we take a long, lingering shot at the Elf
logo
on the
cosmetics. There's
a
lot of product placement in this movie.
Yeah. And then she's like, yeah, I guess I forgive you, but also I'm really high on painkillers, so don't take anything I say too seriously. Also, like, they take prom photos, and Shane and Regina are taking photos, and Regina's mom is just, like, horrible.
Yeah.
And it, like, makes me sad.
Mm-hmm.
And then Katie wins prom queen, or whatever, spring fling.
She gives
Empress.
A speech, and Tim Meadows is like, you really don't have to give a speech.
And then you're like, wow, that was such a different line read than the first time. You're so good.
And then she sings this song, I See Stars, that at the time I was like, why is this not a song that I've, like, been bombarded with? This is a nice song.
Oh, I thought it was a bad, weird song. Is this a fake new one?
No, this is in the musical, but I just...
Yikes.
It's not one that I hear. Like, I feel like I have to hear some of these on social media, and it's never this one. But I was like, this is nice. She's just like, everyone's beautiful. And then she makes up with Janice and kisses Aaron. And there is no epilogue. I was like, Renee Rapp must be pissed. Because, like, one of the highlights of this movie, for her especially, I'm assuming, is the reveal at the end that Regina becomes a field hockey lesbian. But Regina never has any queer tendencies revealed in this movie.
I thought there's a scene where she and Janice are, like, making up, and I was like, kiss, but they don't. Oh, no, it was Katie and Janice making up. Never mind. I thought that she and Janice could end up together in this, but they didn't.
Instead, Janice ends up with some random girl.
No name. And the girl who doesn't even go here is singing the song that he started singing over everyone, which I thought was very funny.
That was fun. And then the movie's
And then there's
over.
Just a bunch of like dancing at prom and the movie's over.
Yeah.
You know, I like Mean Girls the Musical more than I did before when I just hated it without knowing much about it. But I also now feel confident that it's not very good.
I think that I liked this more than I would have liked seeing the musical. But it was just...
This made me excited to potentially see the musical before my friend's twin sister stops playing Katie in the national tour. I might see it in Jersey or Connecticut. And now I won't be, like, dreading the show I'll be seeing. I'll just be like, it'll be whatever.
Yeah. I just think that it was a good thing that they had. And the more you bring it back up, the less it's going to mean anything.
But
it's just weird.
But it's a good movie. I'm excited to rewatch it soon. The original.
Mm-hmm. And I will never rewatch this.
And we should wrap up because we have less than a minute left in our Zoom call. So thanks for listening.
Bye.